Previously on the Adventure Zone, the Seekers look out for any information that can aid in the finding of these relics, but they are forbidden from claiming them themselves. That is where you come in, the Reclaimers. Your job duties will just include following up on any promising information that our Seekers and Spies find for us. We will send you out on missions, and you will do what you did in Phandalin, ideally without involving the destruction of an entire city and the loss of thousands of souls.
I mean, ideally, yeah.
The three of you can see in the sky for just 2 seconds. The sky is filled with thousands of bright white eyes.
Magnus immediately assumes he got a hold of some bad unicorn dick.
Come on in. Come to the place where fun never ends. Come on in. It's time to party with Garfield and friends. It's the Adventure Zone.
Ready to start a new
storyline,
a new grand adventure.
Yes.
A new chapter.
Please, Griffin, please start.
In the
I'm so hungry for it.
In the Blood Eagle Saga, which is what I'm calling this the soul storyline, is the Blood Eagle Saga.
The Blood Eagle Sausage.
This Blood Eagle Sausage chapter begins right now. The three of you are fighting. You're in a fight, and you're in...
Like with each other? Like
you're in combat.
Like, you drank my milk.
Hitting the ground running.
No, you are in the Icosagon, the training dojo for the Bureau of Balance, and you are squaring off. The three of you are fighting against a three-strong team of formidable combatants. You're fighting against Killian. You're fighting against Avi.
And Mobius.
And you're fighting... Who?
I'm sorry.
I think he meant to say
Did Morpheus.
Mean Morpheus from Max.
No, Mobius, as in the guy that invented the strip,
the breathe race,
and the fight is taking forever.
The fight is going on for a long time. You three are fighting against Avi, Killian, and Robbie. It's a friendly sparring match.
Huh. And then we killed Robbie.
Well, no, you can't kill Robbie. I have big franchise plans for Robbie, but you are doing some friendly sparring. You're doing some training. Robbie is throwing some cocktails at you. Killian is doing some acrobatic evasion and firing off some dulled crossbow bolts at your way. Avi seems like he's holding back a little bit. Maybe he's too nice to actually do any damage to any friend. He's too friendly to take a honest to God full force swing at you.
You drop us in the middle of a fight. I don't know the stakes. Are there any babes that I'm trying to impress?
Yeah, sorry. Circling the ring, there are dozens of Bureau of Balance employees that are there to see what these three reclaimers that have brought back two grand relics. They want to know what these three people are capable of. I guess there are a few women in the audience. Taco.
Griffin, there are women in the audience, but are there bibs?
There are no more than four, no less than four bibs, but no less... Then 16 babs.
Oh, I know this one. And one of them has a birthday in May and only wears red hats.
Here, yeah, somebody draw me a Matrix.
Okay, I've got this.
You know, you remember the Matrix starring Mobius?
Oh, you just sat back and waited for that one, didn't you? Just waited.
Step into my web.
The fight is interrupted before you can do anything impressive by the voice
but
of
I
the director.
But I was just about to. I let the record show.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. The voice of the director booms through the danger room, and requests your presence in her office for an urgent matter. Killian says, "Oh man, I was just about to put the hurt on y'all. I was just about to use my limit break. Y'all don't even know what I'm capable of."
She sounds like Holly Hunter.
She sounds like Griffin.
Yeah,
she basically sound like Griffin. Yeah,
I mean, she was the first voice. She was the first voice I ever did, and so it was
ditto. At this point, are we all lining up to like high five and say good game and stuff? And
it's all very, very cordial. There's a special Bureau of Balance handshake that you do, And it's basically the handshake, the secret handshake from Big. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the greeting for members of your order.
So when we show up half hour later to the director's office, she's like, what were you guys doing? Was it the handshake again?
Thank you for coming to my, she says, thank you for coming to my office. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Puff. And then does the whole thing.
So do we go to her, like, office or whatever?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. Whoa.
Oh, hey.
She is, speaking to Davenport, going through some papers when you enter, into her office, and looks up at you with a start as you enter, into her room. And she stands, tall with her white oak staff and addresses you and says, I have an urgent mission for you. You'll need to depart post-haste.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Shimmy Jimmy Cocoa Puff, listen to me now. Wait, no, that's country grammar.
And how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Say hello to my fish.
That's Steven.
You want me to address... Oh, look at that. Yes, I see you've got a little friend there. Does he do anything?
He swims around in his tiny ball, and he loves me.
And right now he's doing his trick of swimming upside down on the surface of the water.
Steven is not dead. Steven
is
eternal.
He's in a sphere. He's not in a fishbowl. How do you
Steven
feed
is eternal.
Him? How do you...
If you're quite done, right. I have a job for the three of you. It should be quite much easier than your last job, although your last job entailed you literally going to a train station and getting a thing out of a box.
Well, there was a little bit more to it than that. I remembered to do my Magnus voice.
Terrific. I have a job for you. I need the three of you to report to the city of Goldcliff.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly you've been. Certainly you're familiar with Goldcliff.
Very.
We actually have only been to three places.
And they're no longer there.
Most of them aren't there anymore.
Goldcliff, certainly you've heard of. It is the financial seat of power in all of the realm. It's where the money lives.
Of course.
There's a grand relic one of our seekers have found in the city of Goldcliff. And it is in the possession of a master criminal known as the Raven. We've been unable to apprehend the Raven.
Ugh, that is so Raven.
It is...
First blow.
The first of many, I assume. the Raven is named for the black feathered mask that she wears. Mm-hmm. You will need to apprehend her and retrieve the relic that she has been utilizing to wreak havoc all around Goldcliff. This time I can actually give you some helpful information as to the nature of this relic.
It is, just out of curiosity, this Raven, is she like evil, chaotic, neutral? Like, is she kind of a Catwoman-esque figure, or?
I can't imagine that people in this universe refer to other people as chaotic neutral. Like, that cannot be in fiction.
I'm almost certain that sort of information, how should I say this, should be developed throughout the course of your story. If life is like a story, I guess, if you want to think about it like that. The relic she has used to up her criminal game is called the Gaia Sash, which gives the wearer control over nature. It gives them immense control over the powers of wind and thunder and flora.
And heart and fire.
And what makes this so curious is that the Raven has taken up residence in one of the biggest cities in all the land, and not in the forest where she would be a god. She has been impossible to apprehend thanks to the powers lent to her by the Gaia Sash. You will need to go to Goldcliff, work with the Goldcliff militia to bring the Raven in and secure the Sash. While still acting under the sort of level of discretion that we require from you, without too many people catching on what you're going for.
That sounds pretty easy. It sounds better than the train.
Yeah,
I mean, it's harder because there's a whole city, but if we just work at it, I'm sure we'll figure something out.
If we just work together and stay positive.
Yeah, like he said,
guys, we suck.
What happened?
We suck.
Speak for yourself, homie. I'm level 6.
I must say,
I'm chaotic good.
I've been very impressed with the three of your job performance, but you sound this level of confidence. I've never heard this from you three before.
I think it's, a lot of it has to do with our yearly review is coming up pretty soon, and we're all hoping for a pay bump.
Oh, I see. It's like the secret. You're acting confident because you want money, which is secret right there.
Law of attraction, you know?
One step forward, two steps back. We get together. She hates cigarettes, and I like to smoke.
Okay. Well, let's go see... do we need any relevant equipment for this, or should we just, like, get moving?
I mean, that's up to you, homie.
You got any leads?
We have a seeker on the ground that you can get more information from that you'll need to regroup with. He is also acting discreetly because his position is fairly high up, and he doesn't want anybody knowing he works for a shadowy cabal like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Is he with the militia? Do we have a way of getting in contact with him?
I'm sure you'll figure that out.
How about a name? Can we have a name?
Something? You've met us, right? Like, you've met us. Right? On this week's Adventure Zone, the third one in this series, they're still looking for the guy.
Also, he is the captain of the Goldcliff Militia. His name
there
is
we go.
His name is Captain Bane.
Is Captain his first name?
Captain Bane, yes, it's...
I am a captain!
Who is that?
That was Bane, sorry.
We'll work on it later.
Why don't you call him Captain Benny, because I do a great Jack Benny.
I mean, I'm naming it after a real person, so I can't just change the real person.
You know a real person named Bane?
Yeah. I don't know him. He's on Twitter. He listens to the show. Are you new?
Not anymore.
It's not his name, is it?
It's probably not his Christian name. Listen,
we're going to get going, okay? Unless you have anything else to impart? Any other leads? Hot leads?
Any road snacks?
Yes.
Yeah, you got any road snacks?
I've brewed you up a phial of Gorp, and I think you're going to love my special blend. You want to know the secret?
Love?
Don't say raisins.
It's not raisins. Those are a shoe-in for Gorp. I think that's what the R in Gorp stands for. No, my secret, she says. Come in, lean in close.
I lean in close.
I lean in far away.
Pistachios, she says.
Shelled?
Yes, I leave the shells on them. Gives you stronger, sturdier teeth. Now get the hell out of my office.
Are you?
You're a loose cannon.
Are you saying to me right now you make Gorp?
I make Gorp. I actually call it Pgorp. Please leave. You have stuff to do.
And leave your badge and gun.
Cooper.
You don't have guns. Please go. Please go. You're going to lose the trail.
Do we need to go see Avi?
Yeah, you go see Avi at the launch pad. He's still a little sweaty from his workout. He's wearing a tank top.
You like it when we kicked your ass down at the Omega Braga Braga Front?
The what?
The Omega
Braga Braga Front.
If any one of the three of you can tell me what a 20-sided shape is called, I will mail you a check for $200.
Round.
All right, that's fine.
Dodecahedron?
No, that's a 12-sided shape, but thanks for playing. Oh, are you talking about the icosahedron? Are you talking about the icosagon? Yeah. I don't think that fight, I think you're misremembering it. I got in quite a few good blows on you guys. I love you guys, though.
We don't want to talk about who blew who. We gotta go.
Oh, I see. But you turn my words on me. You got me again.
It's classic.
Magnus.
Can we go?
Classic.
Can we please start an adventure now?
Yeah, hop into the fun ball, he says.
Isn't there some sort of anti-nausea medication that we've received before? Or am I misremembering that?
Okay, bye.
What, you're talking, you want some fantasy Dramamine? You're worried I'm going to inflict...
I need a dram of Dramamine.
It's Dragamine. It's a dram of Dragamine.
Okay, here's a dram of Dramamine. He says, oh, yeah, it happens to the best of us, buddy. Don't even worry about it.
You know what? I think I'm thinking about the last time we did this. Travis is high.
Yeah, oh, that's
I
it.
Was drunk. Thank you very
he was
much.
Drunk. Drunk. Okay.
He does have his mug. You know, he could be like Mr. T on the A-Team. He can't fly unless he's medicated.
Avi pulls a flask out of his jacket. He says, actually, if you guys remember, I keep this on hand for when new folks show up, if they are having trouble getting acclimated, give them a little nip of hooch. So if you guys want a nip of hooch to help you on the way down, Yeah, that's fine. But I'm worried. I'm worried if you make it a habit, then that it's a problem.
They should come up with a name for that. Making a habit out of drinking.
So why don't you guys hop right in that fun ball, and I'll get you going.
I do that.
We do that.
I do that.
I'm gonna get T-shirts printed that just say "I do that." Okay. He shuts the door to the glass cannonball, and it depressurizes, and you die, I guess. Oh no! It has repressurized. Now it's at about half pressure, so you're and now the ball is breathing.
Okay. Oh my god, it's sentient!
You're inside of the living glass ball. No, it's not living. You get inside. It rolls down a chute into the cannon chamber, and you hear the muffled voice of Avi from outside yell, "Good luck! Have a good time down there on the in the world." And with a start, you are fired off. This time in a totally different direction than the direction you went towards Rockport on your last adventure. This time you're flying east. I think you went west last time. And you're flying through the sky. One of you is at the tiller, I'm guessing. The till. What's it called? The thing. The handle for flight.
The steering mechanism.
Well, it's more of a brake. You're not really flying this thing, but you can slow its descent by pulling this lever.
I'm not touching it. Last time I did, we crashed in a swamp.
That's true.
Last time you destroyed some unicorns, if memory serves. And those are endangered, and you were billed. You were fined heavily for that. So you're flying down for a few minutes before you part through the clouds. You pass through the cloud layer. This trip down is the most scenic one you've taken yet, largely in part of the to the natural beauty of Gold Cliff. It's as its name suggests, it's situated on the edge of a cliff, and it's sort of carved out of this bleak landscape by these two wide crystal blue, crystal clear, crystal gale rivers.
Don't it make my brown water blue?
That's
thank you.
Gross. And so it's surrounded by these rivers, and they sort of split at the end of the city and surround it, and then just flow freely over the cliff, forming these two large breathtaking waterfalls. The city itself is largely comprised of these towering buildings that are kind of shimmering in the unrelenting sun in this sort of desert-like area around this oasis. Despite the fact that the land outside of the rivers is sort of a bleak wasteland, the city itself is kind of lush and green. Outside of those rivers, it's sort of just this blasted, featureless land, which sort of makes the city itself look all that more impressive. In that, the wasteland outside of the city limits of Gold Cliff, you see something peculiar. You see these long lines of dust clouds, and they're just carving a straight path through this bleak scenery. And as you watch them and you get a little bit lower to the ground, you realize that they are actually extending and following a path that are marked by these large pylons, these large black pylons. And as you get even closer, you realize that the clouds are being whipped up by wagons that are speeding through the wasteland. And you see some occasional bright flashes of light moving
between
the wagons.
They're heading towards the city or away?
Towards or away.
They're not even heading towards or away the city. They're almost circling the city. They're pretty far away. Okay. It doesn't look, this is not, nobody's mounting an assault on Gold Cliff. You just see these lines sort of just racing out in the desert.
Is it a race?
Good question.
With the untrained eye, with your six untrained eyes, eight if you count the goldfish, it kind of looks like it a little bit. But you pass over that scene, and you are finishing your final descent into Gold Cliff.
I'll start pulling the brake.
Okay, you pull the brake, and your descent begins to slow, giving you a closer vantage point of appreciating the city. And you are just gobsmacked by the largest building in town, which is this 20-story tall golden tower with a sort of gaudy golden statue on top of it, holding a wreath emblazoned with the words Goldcliff Trust.
Is it made out of gold?
It's all gold. Gold. It's a lot of this stuff is very, very gold. And as you are trying to figure out how much you could hawk a statue of that size for, you realize that this building is actually slowly being swallowed up by these gigantic thorny vines that are growing out of the ground at the bottom of the building. And there's a lot of activity just in front of the building with like dozens and dozens of you can make out some people and some wagons just sort of surrounding the entrance to the Goldcliff Trust that's being enveloped in these vines.
How high up are they?
They are climbing up. I mean, they are about halfway up the structure at this point.
Now, Griffin, should we assume that these might be relevant to the story?
No. Okay, so you land and you land and then you go to Mark's house and you just kick it there for a while. And he's like, just "What do you chill. Need? Grand Relic? Gaia Sash, I got that for you right here. See you later, dogs."
All right, let's level up.
Yeah, time to level up. You guys are level 8 now.
Another great adventure.
Your sphere lands with a thud in an alleyway just about a quarter mile away from the Goldcliff Trust. And as you emerge from it and look around, you realize that nobody has really taken any notice of your entrance into the city. And as you exit, the door automatically shuts behind you. A balloon pops out of the top of the ball and your vehicle floats away.
My wallet!
I left my Kindle in the seat back.
We all left shit.
Dad's third Kindle. Lost another one.
You left your Zune charger in there, and now it's as good as dead. See, that's real...
You talked me into buying that Zune.
Well, listen, it was 2006. I said a lot of shit back then.
Good point.
What do we see immediately in front of us?
You see a couple of vagrants in some shabby sort of makeshift dwellings in this alley. There's some kids playing hoop and stick.
Where are we in relation to the trust?
Oh, you're pretty close to it. It's around the corner.
Well, now hold on. I want to hear more about these vagrant kids.
That seemed like a promising thread.
Do they seem to like love is the true value kind of thing? Like they're poor, but they're happy.
This is a very 1% town. Mm-hmm. And these vagrant kids are also in the 1%, but on the other end.
Oh, okay.
But they are just so, they have found a fulfillment with this hoop and stick that all of the tea in China couldn't make you happy. And so I guess the moral of the story is love was the real treasure all along. And
I'm like already at the building.
Okay.
I've like, I'm there.
So ditto at the Fantasy Costco, I bought the Lens of Straight Creepin', which, when looked through, highlights the footprints, tracks, markings of any person or thing that traveled through the area recently.
Okay.
I think that's going to come in handy, finding the Raven.
I mean, you can use it right now and see if you can pick up on the Raven's tracks.
Okay, I use the Lens of Straight Creepin'.
Okay, all you see are straight line tracks, and you try to deduce exactly what these could possibly be, and you realize it's a ring. It's a ring and stick. It's from the ring. And these kids have been playing ring and stick for a long time.
No, see, I didn't use it. That was a trick. I can't believe you fell for that.
It's all hoop tracks. But God, there's so many hoop tracks. You think these kids must have been playing hoop and stick for like 1,000 years.
Okay, I've been at the building for like 5 minutes. What's happened to me since then?
You are at the... Are you all at the Goldcliff Trust?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
You're at the Goldcliff Trust. There are some police wagon, militia wagons. You understand when I say militia, I'm talking about fantasy police, right?
Yeah, you can just say police.
We got a few fantasy police in our listenership who are like, elevators? I don't think so.
I noticed that you used this one skill when I was farting in my hand and smelling it. Get out of here. Doofus.
You got it.
We love you guys.
Yeah,
we love 99% of you.
Just not you hand sniffers.
Not you hand sniffers.
There are a few militia wagons surrounding the entrance to the building. The building is now almost completely enveloped in these vines. And the vines have also started to sort of spread, almost like carpeting the street around the Goldcliff Trust. And so that these militia people are giving it a pretty wide berth. There's about a dozen or so militia folks surrounding the entrance to this building. And in the back of the crowd, near a particularly large wagon, is a broad, mustachioed man in his late 60s, you would think, who's yelling gruff orders at his underlings.
Is he bigger or smaller than Magnus?
He's big. He's brick shithouse big. And you are like a, I don't know, like an oak shithouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's not. Rustic value is very charming.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not advisable because that soaks up the smell.
I wander over to him.
Hail and well met and stuff. I'm Taco. And we're from, well, you know.
No, and I wake seven times.
Stop. Hold on. Wait. Barry, get Private Barry out of the vines. Oh, my God.
Wait, did you tell Barry to get Barry out of the vines?
Listen.
Barry H. No.
Sergeant Barry, get Private Barry out of those vines. He's getting all
slow. B-A-R-R-Y and B-E-R-R-Y.
Sorry, what were you saying? My sergeant, Detective Strawberry, he's got a lot of different titles. Who the hell are you three? What are you doing? I'm busy here.
Are you Bane?
Yeah, I'm Captain Bane. What of it?
We're from the wink, and the nudge sent us.
And we're wiggling our eyebrows.
And leaning in suggestively.
Huh?
Let's put it this way. You can understand us when we say the words void fish.
Yep, that does it. Good stuff. Let me see your arms, though.
Okay. I flex.
No, not...
I hold out the arm that doesn't have a bracer on it.
Okay. And I hold out my leg.
Check out that meat.
And it looks like you've got an ankle monitor on it there, dwarf man. What's that all about? Anyway, all right. You seem like trustworthy folks.
Can I just compliment you on your judge of character?
You're a great police captain guy.
Good policing, Captain.
So what are we looking at here? What's the sitch?
Listen, I'm more big picture. Kind of, you know, direction, a lot of producer credits on.
Listen,
on this.
We're not hiring. What's the situation here?
I mean, we are co-workers already.
I guess that's true.
Here's the situation. The Raven is in the building. I'm guessing stealing all the gold. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go out on a limb. There's a lot of people's finances are all tied up in the Goldcliff Trust. And so she's in there. We managed to evacuate a lot of the building, but, as you can see, we're having trouble gaining access to it because of what on account of the vines.
Do you want us to go in and get her?
Can I tell you something? That would be terrific.
Let me ask you this follow up.
Hit me.
Do you think we're high enough level to do that? I don't know how
we're
high level
six.
Those vines are.
Does that sound we're good? Sound bad?
We are this many.
You're six. I'm about to send 3 6-year-olds into a building.
Well, we've seen a lot of shit. We're 6-year-olds who have been around the block, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't our first rodeo, it's our second.
I'm familiar with your rodeos. You guys are legends.
Well,
go on,
say hello to my fish.
You're legends in some small circles. I host a podcast, a fan cast about you guys.
Whoa. Okay, a narrow but impactful fan base. I'm into it. Well, listen, we're about to turn this shit into our hidden temple. These legends are wandering right in there.
How many civilians are left in the building?
We think we cleared them all out.
Oh, too bad. We're pretty good at offing civilians.
Yeah.
I gotta say, that's an upsetting thing to hear. I'm an officer of the law.
Well, they usually turn out to have been bad in the first place. But we don't know that when we do it.
Pure stupid luck. Griffin, when I look at the building, do I see an entrance on like a level that we would be able to get into and have the vines like made egress and
ingress impossible.
So nice. The vines are not are not completely covering every single square inch of the building, but they are completely wrapped around. So you can make out sort of where the entrance of the building is. It's right in front of you. They are parked out in front of the main entrance of the Goldcliff Trust. But yeah, you get the impression that these vines are going to make getting into the front door, pretty tricky.
I run up and start blithely attacking him. Just hacking and slashing. Giving a couple chops of the old axe.
Captain Bane yells, "Well, okay, see you later. Boy, you guys sure are rude at ending conversations."
Oh no, I'm still okay, talking to him. I didn't stop the conversation.
Okay, you're a good 60 feet from the entrance of the building.
Let me point out, Captain.
Please call me Captain.
Captain,
just one. If you just call me one, then I assume you're just using my first name.
Okay, one. Magnus and I kind of have the gruff voice thing kind of staked out, so you could kind of change that.
Do you want to have do you want to have a gruff off?
Oh, yeah. Let's roll gruff.
Okay, Taco, you're the only non-gruff individual here. I want you to give me a word.
I'm going to have to make a big federal case out of it.
And then we're going to go around in a triangle and say the word and see who does the gruffest job with it.
Yeah, bring it.
Okay.
Bring it, Copper.
Your phrase is Taco Rules.
I feel like I'm really making some progress.
Taco Rules.
No, try again.
He only gets one shot at it.
You just no, you're right. I fucked up. You're right. I had one chance and I fucked it right up.
You're going to have to change it. Well, let me hear the other two and I'll be the final judge.
Taco Rules.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's gruff, baby.
Oh, no, Lobo ate my dad.
I can really need some help over here with the vines.
Magnus is over there getting David Allen Greer'd in Jumanji.
Why did he rush in? Oh, well, stupid.
Yeah. Guy.
Hey, everyone, this is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master and your best friend. How are you doing? You doing okay? Thanks for listening to episode 18 of The Adventure Zone, the first part of a story arc that I just for the life of me cannot come up with a name for. But hopefully by the time this is published, I will have a name for it and it'll be really clever and you'll read it and just get really hypey about hearing the rest of it.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements too before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Got a personal message here from one listener to another, or maybe one listener to a non-listener, in which case they're just kind of shouting into the void. If you want to shout into the void, you can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and that'll tell you how to get a personal message on the show. This message is for Lindsay Iserman, and it's from Arthur. And Arthur says, "Happy birthday to the only person that could talk me into listening to a D&D podcast. Now a romantic evening means a bottle of wine, a synth heavy score, and the sultry voice of that sweet, sweet dungeon master. Love you, sweets." Not sure if that last part is directed at me or not, but just in case it is, I love you too. One last message here, a commercial message, which you can also pick up at MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron for your small business or your creative works. I want you to go check out ElderwoodBoxes.com. Elderwood Boxes makes pocket-sized artistic wooden boxes to transport your Dungeons & Dragons dice in style. They personally select the finest woods to handcraft pocket-sized dice boxes with a unique hexagonal look. With literally thousands of combinations of engraved art and wood type, no two boxes are the same. If wood carving, dice, and Dungeons & Dragons is your thing, and it is, go check us out at elderwoodboxes.com and customize the right box for you. P.S. We miss Barry Blue Jeans. We all miss Barry Blue Jeans. He was a beloved character that appeared in like two episodes and then he died. But it was the name, wasn't it? It's like the best name and I just sort of wasted it on a red shirt. Hey, if you could do us a favor and maybe tell a friend about The Adventure Zone, we sure would appreciate it. We don't market or advertise this show in any way. We rely entirely on word of mouth. We just made, about a month or so ago, we made episode 1.5, which is a super pared-down version of our pilot episode that just gets to the story stuff and the chuckles. That is a way easier way to onboard people onto the show. So yeah, even if your friends maybe aren't big D&D fans, like we weren't either before we started doing the show. So if you could just try and spread the word, we would really appreciate it. Leave a review on iTunes and do all that good stuff. We thank you. Thank you. Also, go listen to the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network. There's a ton of really, really good shows on there, like Pop Rocket, Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman. We do other shows on the network, like My Brother and Me, Sawbones, and Bunker Buddies. Justin does a YouTube show called Things I Bought at Sheetz, and Travis does a podcast with his buddy Brent called Trends Like These. We got our fingers in a lot of pies, but there's infinity pies at MaximumFun.org. Go check them out. They're all free. Free pie. You're going to love them. Also, last thing, if you want to get on the show, be a character on the show, just tweet about the show using the ZoneCast hashtag, and you might end up in the show, much like Captain Bane, who is named after Vinton Bane, who's Flesh Eater on Twitter. Got a few more characters, a few more open spots for this story arc, so get those toots in now. All right, I'm going to let you get back to the show. Thank you all very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. I'm excited to start a new story arc. I'm excited for the 4th of July. That's neither here nor there. Next episode is going to go up on July 16th, so I'll talk to you then.
Okay, so what is Magnus actually doing, Magnus?
Magnus said he was hacking at the vines.
And slashing.
Oh, okay, well that was... You solved my puzzle, because slashing was the real secret.
I'm just trying to do my best here, Griffin, you know what I mean? Every day.
As you are hacking and slashing at these vines, I'm guessing using Rail Splitter?
Yeah.
You are managing to get some meat off the bone.
You should theoretically be able to cut through any of them, right? Instantly?
Well, they're not necessarily just a tree.
And not until I push the button on the handle.
Is there a button on the... Okay. No, it's just trees only, and you can only do that once per day. Or else Magnus could single-handedly deforest the entire planet.
I have a spell called Blight.
What's that do?
It's a necromantic energy that washes over a creature of your choice, but it can also be used on a plant creature or magical plant.
That's 4th level necromancy. You're not level 4. You can't do level 4 spells.
Oh, I know. I was just saying that eventually
I'll be able to cast
this. Wouldn't that be cool, you guys? Anyway,
so if you can stall, if he can stall...
Let Dad squash some bugs.
Let Dad run out of town and go kill some level 1
bugs. I'm going to go grind...
and then I'll
take
back.
Some cobalt. Dad is going to buy with microtransactions.
He's going to go pick up a level. Go pick up and turn in some crush bone belts. That was the nerdiest reference I've done on this show so far, and this is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. As you cut them down with Rail Splitter, which Magnus has been doing fruitlessly now for like 10 minutes... you're knocking some plant matter. You're knocking some meat off of these vines, but they are regrowing back in just as fast as you can cut them, even thicker than they were before.
Can't do that.
Oh, okay. Wait, no, I've got this. Vines, go away. Please let me through. I can't think of a rhyme.
The vines part. And nope. They do not.
I have channel divinity, charm animals, and plants. If I present my holy symbol, which I think you all know I have my Extreme Teen Bible, then invoke the name of my deity, which I'm sure you remember is Pan.
Did you pick Pan just because it was the shortest and easiest to remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you even remember the name of the deity you had before Pan?
Of course I do, Griffin. Malodorous something or other. Each beast or plant creature that can see you within 30 feet of you must make a wisdom saving throw. If the creature fails its saving throw, it's charmed by me for 1 minute. And while it is charmed, it is friendly to you and other creatures you designate.
Okay.
So I could actually ask it to part, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can command it. I'm not going to make a saving throw for a vine.
Does Steven need to make a saving throw?
Yeah, Steven actually does need to make a saving throw.
Okay. He rolled a 13. I don't know if he has any pluses.
I think I would do it, but that's fine. 13 is not... So right now, Merle has command over your goldfish, and I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means in the context of the game, in the context of the story. I don't know what that means.
I can make it poop.
It does. It poops in the ball, and then the poop immediately dissolves in the water. So stop asking me where the poop goes. There's a lot of tweets last week. How does it poop? It just, the water is magic.
It's a magic fucking fish.
It's a magic ball, and it dissolves poop, and it turns the poop back into air. Okay?
Wow. You got to back off that T-level medicine. It's really making you anxious.
You're right.
All right, what do I roll?
Why? You don't. You just, just talk dirty to these plants.
Hey, baby, I love your tendrils.
Gross-a-rooney.
Let me see your pistols and stamen. You started it, McElroy.
My knee is basically touching your knee. Please don't do this anymore.
I didn't move.
The vines enveloping the front door begin to flower and bloom.
I die.
Which ought to be a lot easier to cut.
I die in fiction and remove my headphones and go to Gino's Pizza Pub and Family Fun Center.
Oh, onion
and
rings.
Play skee ball for about 2 hours. Rings. I will. We'll do.
The flowers start to wilt and fade.
Hey there, vines.
Can I leave?
You know what? My buddies over here are going to sing a little sexy music. Sing something. Help, come on. Sing something.
The vines begin to flower sort of curious.
See? Come on. Sing something.
Let's bloom together.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I've been looking at you, vine.
I got here a few minutes ago, and I cannot take my eyes off you. I looked at you across the square, 60 feet away, and I said, do not be chopping on this baby. Look at that sweet, sweet pollen sack. Come on. Let's go over there. So anyway, you know, it would be really, really good if you would, like, spread your vines.
And
open up and let us walk in through your door, if you know what I'm talking about.
The vines.
Statistically speaking, at least one of our listeners has just discovered that they are in possession of the world's worst fetish.
The vines flower. The flowers, there's a jubilant puff of honeysuckle dew, and the vines part, allowing you entrance into the building. And I think I just described a plant orgasm.
Yep.
And I hold my thumb and little finger up in the universal symbol of I'll call you.
Okay. And this has been 50 Shades of Green, starring four idiots.
I am in the door.
Oh, I've already left.
I wink at the vines, and I go in.
The vines wink back, which is weird.
That's very unpleasant.
Yeah. Once you've been cultivated by Merle, you've been cultivated for life.
As you enter the door, one of the vines rears back and just whips your butt. Just like, pow!
And then, thank you.
The vine shuts the door behind you.
Hey, if you're thinking of making some fan art for that lesson... Don't.
Please do.
Please don't.
You, the three of you are standing in the posh lobby of the Goldcliff Trust. There is a regal carpet that you're standing on as you enter in, atop a marble floor. Jutting out of it are these massive white columns. That are surrounding this grand fountain in the center of the room. And in that fountain, there is something that looks like a gigantic tree that is growing out of it sort of unnaturally. And you get the impression that tree wasn't there before because it has sort of displaced a lot of the water from this fountain. So the floor is a little bit wet. Some of the vines have started to like creep in through like the foundation of the building, but not very many. Other than the tree, this foyer is sort of still in its undisturbed, lovely.
Do we hear anything?
You hear it's funny you ask that, Justin. There is a shrill alarm that is causing...
I just heard it.
Yeah, that was crazy. There's an alarm that is piercing the silence that's not there because of the alarm in the room. The alarm is ringing out unanswered.
Really vivid word picture of just there's an alarm.
There's an alarm, and the alarm, if there was silence, would be ruining it, is basically what I just said.
So so you're saying there's not silence.
That's right? Exactly what
there
I'm saying.
There is the absence of silence.
It's loud. It's a loud room because of this alarm that's going off, but nobody seems to be doing anything about it.
Wait, if there's an alarm going off, how is it silent?
Oh, good question, Justin.
So on the far end of the room behind the fountain from where you're standing are a row of booths, like
teller booths.
Yeah, teller booths. A row of booths there with a pretty secure door dividing the main lobby from them. And then on the left side of the room from where you're standing are a few doors.
Griffin, is the tree doing anything other than, like, is it going up through a roof, or is there anything on it? Does it seem to have a purpose aside from just being a tree in a room?
Is it checking out my ass? Anything like that?
Strictly platonic from this point on.
Please.
Do I have time to smoke a cigarette?
Can I?
You absolutely do not. You could make a check? Track?
Yes, I would like to do that, please. Is that perception? Okay.
Probably investigation to see if you notice.
Investigation. That, I rolled a 17.
Okay. You don't notice any sort of obvious, like, movement or anything from the tree, but some of its leaves are falling off, which is curious because there's not, like, a breeze in here. There's not, like, a stiff breeze. You're indoors. But this tree is shedding some of its leaves.
Hmm. He's really deciding whether or not he wants to use that old...
That is correct.
Okay. Is the tree blocking our way to anything?
No, it is... you're about 40 feet away from it, and it's sort of in the center of the room. The only obvious exits are those doors to the left side of the room.
Is it climbable?
The tree?
Yes.
I mean, it's a tree, so it's as climbable as trees get.
Okay, now I would like to use the lens of straight creeping now.
You look straight down. You're basically standing right in front of the entrance. And you use the a lens of straight creeping. You see a lot of footprints moving out of the building, originating from all around this room, probably the evacuees of this building. But you detect one pair of footprints that is really curious because they start right there at the front door. And then they vanish for, like, a good 15 feet, and then they reappear, and then they vanish again for another 15 feet, and so on and so forth. It is not the usual sort of footprint pattern that people leave. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool sentence. And they lead directly to the middle of the room, into the fountain, and then they lead to the left side of the room, through one of the doors over there.
Wait, before we head through the door, is there any loot? We're in a bank.
Do we see any? Is there? That's actually not a bad question. Is there any, like, any sign of, like, money or anything, like, obviously, like, stolen or destroyed or anything?
Nothing like obviously stolen or destroyed on this floor. But again, you only have access to about half of this lobby. Unless you get into those booths in the back of the room.
Magnus, you want to go look at the booths or you want to go through the door?
I mean, let's check out the booths first.
Booths.
Merle, okay, let's go check out the booths.
Booths.
We go to the booths.
Okay, as you walk toward the booths, towards the booths on the back side of the room from where you're standing, you walk forward, and as you begin to approach the fountain in the center of the room between you and these booths, the tree awakens and turn towards you, and you can make out some knots and features in this tree, which is not a tree at all, my friends. It is a tree ant. Part tree, part ant. Can you even imagine anything more terrifying than a tree ant? And his name is Trent. That's not a listener. I just thought it would be a fun joke. And as it turned out...
You were right.
I was right. It's a really fun, really fun
Trent
joke.
Trent Reznor.
His name is Trent. Nope, just Trent. Doesn't have to be a reference. Just a fun joke I made.
Does he look as though he's rolling for initiative?
No, it looks like he's going to do a surprise round because y'all just walked right up on him. He is going to rear back, and he's got one sort of big limb, and one sort of small but limb with some sharp barbs on it. And he's going to go ahead and swing in a pretty wide arc at all three of you with his big limb. Why don't you make a dexterity saving throw to try and get out of the way of this attack? He rolled a 16.
I rolled a 4 plus 2, a 6.
14 here. No dice.
17.
17,
dexterity,
okay.
Dexterity bonus 10?
No, mine's 0.
Okay.
Merle, you duck out of the way and shout, "Hey guys, look out!" Maybe give a fair warning to your compatriots who do not acknowledge it. This massive limb smashes directly into Magnus and Taco and hits you both for
-3 damage.
14 damage.
Whoa!
Picks you up. And slides you back toward the entrance of the room about 30 feet away. And now we're going to get into initiative.
Okay.
And it says Groot.
Oh, my God. It's Groot.
It's Groot from the hit movie, Groot and His Buds.
14.
14. I got a 12.
I have a 14 and a 4. So I'll take the 14.
Are you sure? Can I sell you on that 4? What? Yeah, you are going right now, Taco.
I cast Blink.
Okay. You what blink, and your eyes get moister than they were before, and you feel relieved. It had been... You guys realize, in the whole time you've been doing this podcast, you've never blinked! Because you never said you did it. This is
the
crazy.
World is new.
I swallow.
No, I cast Blink. That's one of my new third-level transmutation spells.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Blink. So here's how Blink works. I roll a d20 at the end of each of my turns, and on a roll of 11 or higher, I vanish from this plane of existence and appear in the ethereal plane.
What the shit?
I know. At the start of my next turn, when the spell ends, I transport back to the physical plane within 10 feet of where I was before. And while I'm in the ethereal plane... I can see and hear what's going on in shades of gray, but I can't affect anything.
So
nothing can affect me.
You can fucking night crawl now?
Yeah, I can bamf.
Bamf!
Yeah.
That's radical.
I know, it's really cool. I was very proud of that selection.
Okay.
So yes, I cast Blink.
Okay.
And now I also have that according to my sheet here. I've written it down.
Blink. Oh, everyone's blinking.
My turn is over and I roll 16.
All right. You blink into the ethereal plane. And do you disappear from sight from Magnus and Merle?
Yes.
And Magnus loses his goddamn mind.
No clue what's happening.
Okay.
What the
You blink into the ethereal plane. And suddenly your vision goes gray. You blink out of view from Merle and Magnus. And the scene in front of you, other than the color swap change, stays relatively the same. But for a split second, for a flash after you enter this ethereal plane, you see three gray figures with bright white eyes.
What the fuck?
Standing all around the room, sort of positioned around the room. Sort of surveying the scene, and as soon as you appear in this ethereal plane and see them for just a second before you can even discern what they are, they blink out of view.
Oh man,
okay. Nothing weird here.
Are they in the physical realm now?
No, Magnus and Merle, you see nothing.
They just changed the channel they were on. They all switched to 5.1.
Not this idiot.
And that's it for your turn.
Okay.
Next in the order is Merle.
I want to cast Prayer of Healing on Magnus.
It's a good bet.
Oh, okay, yeah. He took a hit.
Yeah. He would regain hit points equal to 2d8 plus my spellcasting ability modifier.
Which is, I think, 6 now.
It is.
Okay.
It is
nice. 6. Can you... is that a touch spell? Is that a range spell? Does it say the range on it?
Anyone that I can see.
Okay, you can see him.
Within range. Can I use your eight?
Seven. Oh, are you doing it? Yeah, you do it.
Merle, you are still standing right next to the fountain with the with Trent in it. Are you going to kick it there, or are you going to back up?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Hell yeah.
I'm not going to. So I roll my eight. So that's eight.
Eight.
Nice. And that's twice that, correct?
Well, you roll a second time.
Yeah, you're okay. Rolling eight and one, so that's nine plus six. So I heal him all the way, right?
Wait, why is this? How do you figure out the spellcasting modifier again? I'm sorry, this is the one that I always forget. This doesn't hit dice. I don't really get
it. Is your spellcasting modifier is your so for clerics? I think your wisdom modifier plus your
proficiency bonus.
Your proficiency bonus.
Which is three, correct?
Right.
Three plus three is six.
And then cool. Plus your... Actually, plus one, because you have your Extreme Teen Bible, and that's plus one.
So I heal him for 16.
But yeah, I can't 16. Go above my base number, right?
No, no, no. Okay, there's so a mechanic called temporary hit point. I actually don't know if 5th edition has temporary hit points. Probably it does.
And I would just like to point out, for the first time in the history of this podcast, I think I actually cast a healing spell.
That was
a
nice. Healing spell. Confirmed.
Yes. That's a good one.
Who had 17 fucking episodes in the pool?
Next in the order is Magnus.
I am going to run up to the tree, push the button on rail splitter, and chop it in half.
Okay. You run up to the tree.
And you're welcome, by the way.
Yep.
That ain't gonna work.
You
he's a treant.
Click the button on rail splitter. It powers up, and you rear back, and with a mighty swing, cut through it. Like a hot knife through water. And you hear it emit a...
Oh, my butt. You chopped my butt.
And it topples backwards away from the front door and topples and falls backwards into the booths in the back of the room, which sends up paperwork and receipts and ledgers go flying up into the air. As you fell, Trent, the tree ant, who uses his two, giant meaty tree branch arms, and he rears himself up and looks square at Magnus in the face, who's standing in the fountain, looking very proud of himself. And he rears up his bark-like face. It's bark-like because it is bark. And he screams at you very loud with sap. Pouring out of his mouth.
What's he saying?
Yeah, it's some sort of tree language, which Merle understands, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I do. Okay. So let me translate. That means he aggressively is going to retaliate against you and mm-hmm. cause you some kind of harm.
But I chopped him in half.
And he did take some damage for that.
Yeah, I should hope so.
I think cutting in half counts as a crit. So it's 16. And then some falling damage.
And some halving damage.
Extra 14 damage, so 30 damage altogether.
That's a pretty good hit.
I would just like to point out that if I were fighting a human being and I did an attack that chopped them in half cleanly, like, as I believe you said, a hot knife through water, I don't think we'd be rolling for damage.
Well, it is a magic tree and not a human, so...
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier, host of Rendered. It's a show about making meaning and breaking rules. We're answering important questions like, can you build a spacesuit in your living room?
I went to my brother's place in Beaverton, and he has a swimming pool, and I pressurized the suit and sat down there underwater for about 10 minutes. The thing that I had built was supporting my life. That felt really good.
What does it sound like when you play a polka record through a styrofoam cup? And what happens when an airport carpet gains a cult following?
Oh my goodness, the carpet has an Instagram.
Check out Rendered now at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.